A very good morning on behalf of Teach 613. We welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Kesubas Ayin Vav, Kesubas 76a, pagination is 151, starting from about six lines from the bottom at the two dots. We mentioned in the Mishnah that was on the bottom of Amud Aleph on the previous daf that we were dealing with a woman who got married, and blemishes of significance were discovered. And in the Reisha of the Mishnah, the first case, she was still in her father's house. They only had done Kiddushin at that point. And the husband discovers the blemishes. And before he does Nisuin, before he takes her into his own home, he already is objecting that he doesn't want the Kiddushin to be valid, and he doesn't want to pay the ksuba. The rule over there, since this was discovered while she was still in her father's house, was that the father would have to bring a proof that these blemishes came after the Kiddushin, in which case he would be able to argue that the husband's property, so to speak, is what got ruined, but you can't question the act of Kiddushin because these blemishes weren't there at the time of Kiddushin. Again, the father is the one who has to bring the proof. In the second case, the Seifa, we have the woman already in the husband's home. It's after Nisuin, after the Chuppah. And in that case, if the husband discovers something and shows up, we're going to say, al haba'al lahavi raya, the husband has to bring the proof if he wants to be able to divorce her without paying the ksuba. He would have to bring a proof that these blemishes existed before the Kiddushin, and that he didn't know about them, and that he is now, upon discovery, objecting to the entire Kiddushin. Again, in the Seifa, she's already in the domain of the husband, and he is going to have to bring the proof to what he wants, which is to abrogate the Kiddushin without paying ksuba. As I mentioned in yesterday's session, the Gemara takes these types of cases on a global level and compares them to all acts of significance, acts of acquisition, deals that are done, and in a similar vein, a person is objecting to whatever it is that occurred, claiming that he didn't consummate a fair deal, a proper deal, that he was tricked in some way, and the question always is, who has to bring the proof? So in our Gemara, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Rav Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel, the following case. Hamachlif para bachamor. A person is doing an exchange between a cow and a donkey. The logic here is that one of the animals is in front of us, and on that animal we're going to do the act of acquisition, perhaps meshicha, pulling it. And the other animal, which could be in a barn somewhere, is automatically, by the laws of exchange, going to transfer ownership from the previous owner to the new owner. Umoshach bal hachamor es hapara, the owner of the chamor of the donkey, whose donkey is in the barn, he goes ahead and pulls the cow to acquire it. By definition, in the laws of chalipin, what happens is that the donkey now belongs to the person who used to own the cow. The problem is, v'lo hispik bala para limshoch es hachamor, the previous owner of the cow, never made it to pull the donkey, achemes hachamor, until the donkey was already found dead. By the time he makes it to the barn, the donkey's dead. The question, of course, is, when did the donkey die? If the donkey died before the act of kinyan, before its owner pulled the cow, So then pulling the cow is meaningless because you don't have the assets to do the exchange. The exchange is being done erroneously, by mistake, and it's not going to happen. If, however, the donkey was alive, then the kinyan of exchange did take place. And if a bolt of lightning struck the donkey dead, fire came. People came and killed it. Or it died on its own for whatever reason. Then it was alive at the time of the kinyan. And the exchange will be a valid exchange. I'm talking with a drop of caution because obviously if the animal was extremely sick or something like that and that caused its death immediately after the kinyan, that perhaps is going to be different. But otherwise, Achemesach Amor, we don't know why. Donkey's dead. When did it die? Bal HaChamor Lahavi Raya, the onus of proof is going to be on the owner of the donkey, to prove that the donkey was indeed alive at the time that the cow, that he pulled the cow to acquire it. So to remember this clearly, the owner of the donkey is a busy man. He's the man who pulls the cow, and he's the man who's going to have to bring a proof to the living status of his donkey if he wants his pulling of the cow to have any validity. That's the ruling. And we could deal with that. He has to prove that the animal was alive. What's interesting, though, is that the statement here says, V'tana tuna kala. And if you want to appreciate this case, the comparable case is kala, is the case of a woman getting married. Asks the Gemara, that's a brain teaser. Hi kala, which case of a woman getting married? Ilema kala bevesavia, if you're talking about a woman, the resha of the Mishnah, the first part where she's still in the father's house, midami hasa maisi avraya umapik. I don't agree to your comparison because over there the reason the father has to bring a proof is because he wants to extract the ksuba money from the husband. So he has to prove something. He's trying to extract something. Haha, but over here by the donkey, Maisi Balachama Raya Umukim, all the man who owns the donkey needs to do is prove that everything processed correctly. He's the one who already has the cow. So his proof is to keep the cow that he already has. So it's not really comparable. How do you even know that he has to bring the proof? He's the one holding the cow. He doesn't need to change anything in Beis Din. Why are you referring to this as a comparable case? Amar Rav Abba Kala Bevesa Chamiha. Rav Abba says, maybe it's talking about the second case of Kala, the woman who's getting married in the Seifa, and she's already in the husband's domain, and we said that the husband has to prove that the blemish was there before the Kiddushin. Ve'akati lo dami. And I still don't understand your comparison. The husband has to bring a proof, the owner of the donkey has to bring a proof. It's two different proofs. Hasam ba maisi raya umara lelechezke da'av. Over there, the husband has to bring a proof because he wants to negate the standing chazaka, the assumption that the father has, which is that the girl was born healthy and the blemish came as late as possible. She has a status of good until proven otherwise. And that's why the husband has to bring his proof. Haha, but over here, Balach Amar Maisi Raya, the owner of the donkey is being forced to bring a proof, Umukim Chazkei Biyidei, to prove an existing chazaka continued. He has a chazaka on his side. The animal certainly was alive at some point. Everybody agrees to that. So the fact that the owner of the donkey has to bring a proof that the donkey was still alive is not comparable to the requirement for the husband to bring a proof to actually change the assumptions. Amar Rav Nachman by Yitzchak. Rav Nachman by Yitzchak explained that there's another question that's going on in our Mishnah that we apparently missed. And that's where this comparison is applicable. And that is Kala Bevesavia Velikidushin. We're referring to the first case of the Mishnah, where she's still in the father's domain. But we're not talking about Ksuba, which raised an objection that the father is trying to extract money, and that's why he has to bring a proof, whereas the owner of the donkey is not trying to extract anything. It's actually comparable if you realize that the Kiddushin money that was given is also being challenged. Because the husband, when he says, I want to negate the Kiddushin, and therefore I don't have to give a get, and I don't have to give ksuba, he's also saying, and I want a refund on my Kiddushin money. And on that, the father is being required to bring a proof in order to keep what is already in his possession. And that indeed is comparable to the case of this donkey owner who is already holding the cow, but in order to keep the cow, he has to prove that the donkey was still alive. Again, you're in possession of the thing. Someone else is trying to extract it from you. And nevertheless, you have to bring a proof in these two cases that what you're holding is indeed something that you're entitled to keep. Yashar Koach, thank you for joining.